The climate change minister of the small Pacific Island nation of Nauru accused Western experts of pushing false solutions to the climate crisis. Renier Gadabu said the decision makers with real power simply do not care about the communities that will be displaced and destroyed as the earth heats up. The young Ugandan climate activist Vanessa Nakate had much the same criticism. She slammed world leaders who persist in backing new fossil fuel projects.
So I ask each of the leaders here today, will you be on the right side of history? Will you end this moral and economic madness? And if not, will you at least have the courage to be honest with your citizens and let them know why you have decided to ignore the science, ignore the economics, and ignore your moral responsibilities and put profit over the people and the planet? The choice is yours to make.
The COP27 conference is trying to hammer out far-reaching agreements on reducing emissions, adapting to climate change, providing funding for poor nations suffering loss and damage caused by extreme weather, and sticking to the limit of 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial levels. The issue of loss and damage is a major sticking point. Poorer nations are demanding richer industrialized countries whose emissions have been the main cause of climate change pay for damages already caused by climate-related disasters. The U.S. and other developed countries have made it clear they won't agree to a fund that implies any legal liability for climate change. Beyond paying for loss and damage, the world will need immense amounts of funding for a transition to a green future and to adapt to a warming planet. United Nations climate official Simon Steele said a newly published report on climate finance estimated just how much funding is needed.
The report identifies the need for a breakthrough and a new roadmap on climate finance, seeking to mobilize $1 trillion per year in external finance that will be needed by 2030.
The climate finance official for Kenya, Rosalinda Soipantuyu, had a larger estimate, $1.3 trillion a year. She said developing countries need external financial help.
The current financial architecture features an unfortunate reality where developing countries, those that have least contributed to the climate problem, continue to shoulder climate costs.
U.S. climate envoy John Kerry agreed that funding is key, saying that finance is the biggest barrier to limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. But Kerry said even the world's wealthy nations can't open their purse strings to that degree. He said the private sector must be mobilized.
No government in the world has enough money to be able to do what we have to do. The UN finance report tells us that the cost of keeping 1.5 degrees alive, which we continually put out, I do too, as the goal. It is the goal of Sharm. That's why we came here. But if we're going to win this battle, folks, we have to completely think differently about how we're mobilizing finance and what counts as mobilized finance.
While the nations of the world seem unlikely to come up with the $1 trillion or more needed yearly to address the climate crisis, they are coming up with double that amount for military spending. According to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, world military expenditures topped $2 trillion last year. The U.S. spent about $800 billion alone on its military. For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari.